What a powerhouse of talent there. Ronnie Spector with the E Street Band. Yeah, Springsteen. I do believe I heard the tenor sax work of Clarence Clemens in there, too. Isn't that great? Well, folks, talk about great. We are pleased to tell you that yet another pop music legend is joining us on the air here at KLBB. In recent times, yeah, we've talked with Johnny Crawford, Peter Yarrow, Neil Sedaka. Today, right now, wow, Ronnie Spector. You know Ronnie, lead vocalist of the Ronettes and solo star for many years, one of the most dynamic and influential recording artists and stage performers in the business. And she is coming to town later this week on stage at the Dakota Club in downtown Minneapolis. Ronnie Spector, a million thanks for joining us this afternoon. How are you?
Oh, I'm just a great fan, and thank you for having me.
Oh, it is our honor, our pleasure, Ronnie.
No, thanks again.
May I say this, and I mean this with all sincerity, on behalf of legions, untold numbers of fans like me, we are so grateful to you for the joy that you and your music have brought to us over the years from, you know, back then, the doo-wop times, to right now, still going strong. We owe you so much, Ronnie. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, and I love you guys, too. Amazing that I can still do my shows, and I love them so much, and I especially love my Christmas shows.
Can't wait to hear about it. May I ask you, first of all, Ronnie Spector, I assume you've been to Minnesota before, the Twin Cities, have you?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Have you performed in Minneapolis or St. Paul, or was it
elsewhere? Yes, I have.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you've played the Dakota Club before. It is in downtown Minneapolis. I can tell you from experience as a spectator, as someone in the audience, a great room. It's intimate, yet it's big enough to have that nice feeling where you can play to a lot of people. So we know
you. I played there a couple years ago.
Yep, I thought you did. I wasn't quite sure.
I love that room. It's so great and intimate, and you know, it's all that. I love it.
Well, Ronnie, we gave away some tickets just a little while ago. It didn't take any time at all. The phones blew up. You're wonderful. Oh, we have so much to talk about. I want to talk, when we talked to Neil Sedaka recently, Neil said, and Neil's around, I think he's around 71 or 2 right now, just a young kid. He said he was told by Luciano Pavarotti that after 70, your voice goes south. But Neil said, no way, if you take care of it, you're always going to stay in good voice. And you have done that, haven't you? You're still going strong.
I have, Stan. I don't know what it is. I think it's the coffee and the cigarettes. No.
Best answer ever.
No, you can't. No coffee, no cigarettes.
You know what it is with me? Yep. I just don't go to a lot of clubs and talking. I'm not a night person because I love my audience. So that's like my fun time is when I'm on stage.
Oh.
That's what it's all about for me.
It is. Ronnie, can it be 50 years since the release of your Christmas album, A Christmas Gift for You? Was that back in 60?
I can't believe it.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. It's like, what? it's like a shock.
Time can't move that fast. Frosty the Snowman, Sleigh Ride, all those great songs. And I have a feeling, I have a sneaking suspicion, you're going to do some of those on stage later this week.
Oh, you better believe it.
Can you give?
You know what it is, Stan? Right. I only get a chance to sing my Christmas stuff at Christmas time.
Yes.
So,
yes,
you know, I have to do every Christmas song I ever put on record.
We were talking this time of year, you hear some evergreen songs like Brenda Lee's Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, you know, over and over, because they're so beloved. The same goes for
I
you.
I sing that too in myself.
You're good. And Brenda doesn't mind at all.
But, you know, it's the same idea in everything.
Sure.
Because I always love Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee.
Oh, yes.
So myself and Darlene Love, we got together and we put it out as a record.
Oh.
And they play it.
Oh, sure. We're going to be playing it, too. No doubt about it. Let's see now. Ronnie, we want to ask you a little bit. Can you give us a little bit of a teaser? What besides, you're going to be doing some non-holiday songs this week in Minneapolis?
Yeah, some songs, maybe one or two that the audience never heard.
Okay.
Which I love to do, to make it other than just my three hits for Christmas time. Mm-hmm. I also do Frankie Lyman Christmas songs.
Oh, yes.
Which he gave to me because his voice was changing.
Oh.
And he came to my house and gave it to me. So I do that every year because Frankie was my everything. He was my inspiration.
I know
he
was.
The first record stand I ever bought was Why Do Fools Fall in Love. I was like 13 years old.
Yeah.
And I saved up my allowance money and got it. That was the first record.
Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. Did he do Goody 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 too?
All of them. Goody,
yeah.
That's all you met someone.
Yeah, that's it.
I can sing you every Frankie Lyman
song. Goody, goody. Yep, that's that's great. So, well, okay, the Ronettes were born in New York City. You, one of
yes,
your
please.
Sisters, and,
yep.
And a cousin became the Ronettes. But before that, you were Ronnie and the Relatives, weren't you, Ronnie? Right?
That's well, you know why. Everybody asked me, how did that name come about? I had so many relatives. My mother had seven sisters and seven brothers.
Wow. Ooh, wow.
So, and then I had like 23 first cousins. So every Sunday I go to my grandmother's house and
yes.
I get up on her coffee table and sing. And my family would applaud and smile. And that's when I got that first thing. I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Oh.
And I was only like five.
I'm so glad you had that feeling, that inspiration. That's wonderful. Ronnie Spector, may I ask you this incident when you, your sister, and cousin showed up in front of the Peppermint Lounge in New York City. Joey D and the Starlighters. This was at the height of the twist craze.
Yes.
You were standing outside to get in.
We were standing outside.
As spectators. Yeah.
It was cold, I'll never forget.
Yeah.
And the manager comes outside and says, get in here, girls, you're late. Because, Emma, we did, we dressed alike on purpose. We stuffed Kleenex down our bras, you know, to look older and stuff. We did all of that stuff. And they called us and they said, girls, you're late. Because we were dressed alike and we had slits up the side of our skirts.
Wow.
So they figured we were the dancers they'd hired. So we knew how to dance, Dan. So we said,
yeah.
Why not?
What? So it was purely accidental. The manager mistook you for
yes.
the dancers behind Joey D and the Starlighters. You got up on stage and you just let it fly, huh?
No, we were outside waiting on line.
No, but I mean you were part of the performance inside, though, weren't you?
No, we weren't.
Okay. I thought you were called in.
The manager called us in.
Okay.
We were watching Joey D,
right.
And they called us up on stage.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And David Bugatti said, sing to me, and I just belted out what I say, you know,
yeah.
that what Ray Charles is for, you know, because the two Ronettes, you know, tell me what I say, tell me what I say, you know, it was great, and I still do that now.
I know you do.
I just put it back in my shelf.
Oh, wonder, I'm glad you have. Well, the string of hits for the Ronettes, Be My Baby, Walking in the Rain, Do I Love You, I Can Hear, and on and on and
baby,
on.
Baby, I Love You.
Yeah, just great, great, great stuff. No doubt about it. They're just, they're evergreens. There's no doubt about it. They'll always
thank
be with us.
You,
thank
Dan.
Goodness. But you were not washed overboard by the British invasion. So many American performers were gone. They were just washed off, right off the deck. You not only survived, but you prospered. And in some occasions, I believe the Rolling Stones and the Yardbirds opened for your shows in the UK. Is that right?
That is correct. That's what I was going to say to you, because the Rolling Stones weren't even known in America. The Beatles weren't even known
yeah.
in America.
Uh-huh.
So when we went over to the UK, the Ronettes, that's when they came to our record company party.
Mm-hmm.
The Beatles, John and George and Ringo.
Yeah.
It's like, who are you guys? Who are you? You know, we didn't know.
Yep.
And then they took us to this tavern or something,
mm-hmm.
cave tavern, to see their show.
Mm-hmm.
So we became really good friends before they even became, as they call, Beatlemania.
Yeah, sure,
you know?
sure.
So we knew them before, all of that. And, of course, the Rolling Stones being our opening act.
Oh.
We just cut up all the time backstage, and just, whoever had a birthday, somebody had
right.
a cake, you know. But you know what, Stan?
Yes.
Those were such great days because everybody was so innocent.
Oh.
You know, there weren't drugs involved. There wasn't alcohol involved or marijuana. It was just fun and happy and rock and roll, and everybody was new to it, and everybody loved it. You know, the beat of everything. It was just all about music.
Yes.
And I think that's why the Beatles broke up, because nobody could hear them. They couldn't hear themselves on stage at all those big stadiums.
Ah, that's very
you know, so yes. it, but I knew yes. them all, and I loved them all, and they loved me and the
yes.
Ronettes, and we just had a great time
well,
with
Ronnie,
those English groups.
Ronnie, to put it another way, you inspired them. There's no doubt about it. They have said so. In fact, the Beatles asked you to open for one of their concerts, right?
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
That was their last, their final tour ever.
Ah.
The Ronettes were on their tour.
The ultimate compliment, for sure. So,
It was.
Ronnie Spector, you'd have to agree, so many fine American groups were just washed away by the British invasion, never got traction again, did they? The girl groups.
I don't think they really got back,
no.
you know what I mean?
Right.
A lot of R&B groups,
yeah.
a lot of even pop groups
yeah.
just disappeared. because at one point, I think for about 2 years, with the Beatles and the Stones and Eric Clapton and all that, it just washed people away. But you know what? They came back.
Yeah, some of them
did. You know,
did.
They had to work.
Sure,
so
sure.
It was oldie but goodie shows that I would go to. I was on them myself when I came back from California.
Yeah.
We had a lot of oldie but goodie shows, so it kept you going, you know, at least.
Oh, sure.
For me, not so much financially, but just I had to be on stage. That's my life, my love.
Who were some of your, you were billed as the bad girl of rock and roll. What did, Elvis, you know, had a, really got the ladies going, the young ladies going, and you got the guys going, didn't you?
Well, it was the same sort of thing, and that's why they called me, Ronnie is like the Elvis, because we used to shake out, not butts, but we used to.
That's scandalous.
How would we put
that's
that on the radio?
What we had to do at the beginning was sing, was dance at Murray Decay show.
Yeah.
So we do the twist, you know, whatever dance was out then.
You were putting
and
moves.
And that was great, too.
You were putting moves on
the
up there.
Twist. They had the jerk. They had, you know, they had so many dances that you could make a routine out of one dance.
Oh.
You know, or three songs and make it into one. The jerk. That's what the Ronettes did. We never had a choreographer or anything. We just take whatever we saw and make it into one.
And you,
you know, a half of something.
You did it.
Someone else would do, and we make it ours. You
know? And you
did. Know what else to do.
Ronnie Spector, were you in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963. Were you down there for a Dick Clark show?
Yes, we were. As a matter of fact, we were on a Dick Clark tour.
Yeah.
And what happened was we were in the hotel because we had done shows for about 8 or 9 days already because it's a tour. It was about a month tour. And when we got to Dallas, that's when we had to cancel the whole show.
Yes.
That's when JFK got killed.
Yes.
And you want to know something, Stan? Mm-hmm. And I never knew this till about 4 days ago. Mm. Oswald, you know, the one that was supposed to have killed Kennedy?
Yes.
He bought tickets to our show. And how we found out was that, you know, in the 60s, you could go into record stores and buy your tickets for shows. Well, Oswald was down there, and the record company called my management people and said, you know, Oswald bought tickets to see that show.
Oh,
I wanted to see the Ronettes.
Did not know that.
Can you imagine? That's
oh,
so
Lord.
Spooky to me.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Ronnie Spector, Beyond the Beehive, that's another show you're taking around the country. Tell us about that, please.
Oh, God, Stan, I love my show. Well, it's a one-moment show.
So do
show.
We.
Huh?
Go ahead. So do we. We love your show. Go ahead. Tell us about it.
Well, it's like a one-woman show.
Okay.
I tell my whole life story since I'm like five, and I go down and I talk about the Beatles, the Stones, and how it happened and what happened. And you know what I love? The audiences are like either laughing their heads off or crying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the audience gets that emotional, you know, coaster that I'm on.
Sure.
They go right through it with me, and it's so great to look out in the audience, and they're like on their seats, like listening to every word, you know, because I talk a lot in the show, and I get up and sing about it. So it's so different. It's different from any show I've ever seen.
Well,
where a person is, and it's me, because, you know, they have the Jersey Boys on Broadway,
mm-hmm.
and they have Janis Joplin, all these people, but they're not the real people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the real Ronnie.
There can be nobody
I do
else.
My show, it's me up there. It's not somebody imitating me.
Oh, Billy Joel did write "Say Goodbye to Hollywood" for you, didn't
he? Yes, he did. Yes,
okay.
He did.
Beautiful song, and that was Clarence Clemons blowing the tenor, I think, on that
That's
too.
Right.
Oh God, we miss him, don't we? What a great guy he was.
Oh, he was great. I loved Clarence.
Ronnie, before we let you go, and thank you, you've been so generous with your time today. What are your favorite songs from way back when, your group and the other girl group, say, back in the doo-wop time?
Okay, my favorite was Walking in the Rain
from
the Ronettes.
Yep.
And he's so fine. I love that.
Oh, yes.
When he's so fine, wish he were mine.
Yeah.
Something about that. I love the lead singer's voice and the whole groove of that song.
Yes.
You know, all of the girl groups back then I loved.
Oh.
Actually.
So do we. I'll tell you, speaking of love, Ronnie, we love you. And I mean we. That's a collective we. You're going to be playing to full and adoring houses Wednesday and Thursday night at the Dakota. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for really brightening up our holiday.
And I love you, and I hope you come to the show, too.
We're going to be there, Ronnie.
All right.
Thank you.
That's what I want to hear.
So much. You do us honor by being on the air with us here today. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Stan.
Okay,
I loved
Ronnie.
It.
Bye-bye.
five.
You believe it? What a gracious lady. What an immense talent and wonderful person and an inspiration, Tom, to so many performers who came after her initial splurge, on the national, international music scene.
Pretty sure Amy Winehouse was a huge fan.
She was very much influenced by Ronnie Spector. And so there you go. We hear from Ronnie. She's coming to town, folks.